This is On the Ground IFC on 89.1 WEMU. I'm your host, Patrick Campion, and along with me, as always, is the project coordinator or project manager Concentrate Media on this project, Sarah Rigg. And welcome and good morning.
Good morning.
And just if you aren't aware, this is a project we've been doing together going on a couple of years now, and we are the proud media partner of this and jumped at the opportunity to join Concentrate Media in this project because we know there are so many great people and stories and things in Ypsilanti that just don't get talked about enough in the media, and any opportunity we have to bring those stories to light for our audience, for other audiences, we're going to jump at that. So we're so happy to be continuing doing this. So welcome, Sarah. Good morning.
Hello.
What's the big topic this week?
I did a piece about a program that's open to everyone in Washtenaw County, but takes place in Ypsilanti at the Washtenaw County's health department facilities at 555 Towner in Ypsilanti. And it is a support group for breastfeeding moms, specifically targeting black moms in the area because they have specific challenges and risk, and their babies have specific risk factors that other populations don't face. But I will let my guests talk about that a little bit more.
And we can find all the great work you do at concentratemedia.com. Of course, we'll link it in at WEMU.org. But there's more than just On the Ground Ypsi at Concentrate Media. So if you haven't been there yet, we definitely encourage you to check all of that great work out. And Sarah, thanks for bringing us the story this morning. You've brought a couple of guests. Can you introduce them real quickly?
Sure. I've got the Washtenaw WIC breastfeeding coordinator, Gayathri, and the WIC breastfeeding peer counselor, Dara, with me.
Good morning, Dara. Good morning, Gayathri. Hi.
Hi.
Good morning.
So who wants to start here? I want to know about, you know, why does this exist? How did it evolve? Where did it start from? You know, what person said, we see a need and we got to fill a need in this community?
Absolutely. So my name is Gayathri. I am the coordinator of the breastfeeding coordinator of the WIC program in Washtenaw County. And we constantly monitor our statistics, and our biggest population in Washtenaw County, WIC, comes from Ypsilanti. Okay. There is a bigger disparity between breastfeeding rates for African Americans or black moms and non-black moms. So we've been focusing to see like how we could get those numbers, that gap, closed. And so about 2 years ago, I believe, we started this focus group. It's more a support group. Like, okay. It's a social, very non-judgmental, friendly, open conversations.
So my firsthand experience with this is very limited. My ex-wife and I had two kids, so obviously, and I'm a dude, so I don't have, but I do remember it being a struggle and being hard and a lot of stress there, especially right after birth. I mean, that is an insanely stressful moment in any woman's life. So why did these disparities exist? Do you know, what led to that? Is it, simple lack of access to resources or knowledge base or education? I mean, is it a cultural thing? I mean, what really led to that?
You nailed them all. Okay. pretty much every one of them. Only other thing I would add to that list is a stereotype, okay, as well in the society and unfortunately in the community we live in the hospital.
Is it also related to the fact that, when you're living under a certain income level, getting back to work without having maternal leave or maternity leave and things like that, it puts a lot of pressure to get a feeding system going that doesn't involve the mother because the mother's got to be doing other things.
Yep. Yeah. It's pretty much a cycle. Okay. And I am going to let Dara talk in a second too. But like you mentioned, it's the risk factors are low income, young moms in this group. And so consequently, their jobs are also like in facilities where they don't have space to pump, and it's not conducive to continue breastfeeding. But Dara, I'll let you build on.
Yeah, Dara, please expand on that. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I was going to say, when I was 19, I got pregnant, and the first comments I heard was, it's going to hurt. Mm. Oh, you're not going to be able to go back to work. Your baby's going to be hanging off of you. So at first, it really did scare me because I knew I had to go back to work. I knew that I had to do other things. I couldn't have a baby hanging off of me. But
yeah, and this it's an interesting cultural thing, too, because it's something a lot of people don't like to talk about for some reason. You know, it's like, when we start looking at women's breasts, all of a sudden everybody goes mute because I think there's a weird sexualization that goes on there. But as a woman who's a mother, you know that it is 180 degrees away, the complete opposite end of the world from being a sexual sexual thing. You just want to
physiologically, right. That's the functional aspect of the breast. Absolutely.
So how did this transformation happen with you? I mean, how do you go from a 19-year-old, you know, getting these thoughts from everybody to being involved in this program?
So are you talking about with being involved with
WIC? Yeah.
So usually in our community, when we hear that we're pregnant, a lot of women tell you, well, go get WIC. You know, things that will help you. So when I got pregnant, I found out at 5 months, and I knew I wanted to breastfeed. And that is one thing that I did hear, is that WIC helps out with breastfeeding. I knew that I could get a breast pump from there, or they could show me where to get one. So about 6 months pregnant, I found out 1 month ago, I signed up for WIC. Okay. They see me. There was a breastfeeding peer counselor that I did work with, and she just talked to me about breastfeeding, and I was like, oh, this is my place.
So it sounds very supportive. Like, yes. they're giving education, but they're also giving you peers to talk to and explore things, because you're going to go through a bunch of experiences that if people haven't done it, they have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, so is that useful in breaking this? You know, all you're hearing is pain and ouchies, and it's going to be so hard, and the baby's going to, you know, do this and that, you know, to actually embracing women that are helping with this because they've been through it too.
Yeah.
So the biggest thing that we do is normalize that, mm-hmm. you know, and I think just going through addressing, and it's a journey, you know, breastfeeding is a destination, but it's a long journey to get to that. And even once you start breastfeeding, it is also a journey as well. It's a different type of journey. So
why is WIC supportive of it? And I'm not asking, you know, not in an adverse way. I just am curious what led them. Has it always been the position of WIC to support mothers in this realm of breastfeeding, or is this something new? I mean, I know science kind of has changed over the last 40, 50 years. There was a lot of emphasis on formula for a little while, but then I think science came back around and really showed the true benefits of breastfeeding. I mean, where's WIC been on this?
Great question. So WIC is a nutrition program. So WIC's priority is infant nutrition.
Okay.
And breast milk is the superior infant nutrition by far. It's non-comparable to any artificial formulas that are out there. We follow both the national authorities as well as some of the international health authority recommendations. And the World Health Organization recommends to breastfeed the babies up to 2 years of baby's age.
And
exclusivity up to 6 months.
How do you combat? I mean, there are some very large companies, commercial companies, that seem to be pushing campaigns, not as much in the United States, but other parts of the world, that formula is it and formula is the way you should go. How do you, you know, take all of these cultural things that are going on, that's saying, you know, don't breastfeed in public. Don't breastfeed at all. Don't, you know, it's a weird thing that you should be using formula. It's way better for the baby. We're bombarded with these messages all the time. How do you combat that?
So internationally speaking, there are health authorities that monitor that and regulate these. So World Health Organization and UNICEF, they are the governing bodies for the health protection, public health protection. So they do have codes and, you know, ethics and committees that actually overlook to make sure that the formula companies aren't doing their commercials,
sure.
and everything.
Right.
So it's worldwide. It's actually really, really breastfeeding has been publicized a lot more lately. The question that you had earlier, you know, how did this come around? Like 40, 50 years ago, mm-hmm. formula was like just all over the place. They identified a lot more health problems since formula became like, okay, we got this. We're going to just make sure that everyone's formula feeding.
Right.
But, you know, health-wise, just the health statistics have gone down, like increased obesity rates. You know, we're not even looking at just infant ailments. We're now looking at chronic illnesses later on in life. So the formula continues on. Now, if you were to look at like a drop of formula versus a drop of breast milk under microscope, you have live cells that move around, and formula is a dead substance. So your baby isn't getting those immune cells, not just the immune cells now, but later on those important microbiomes.
And what about the psychological benefits for the mother and the child, that it's a time of bonding?
Absolutely. That's a part that we didn't even touch. But yeah, there's so many benefits. Nationally and internationally, health organizations, they look at what are the different types. So like intellectual benefits, higher IQ levels when babies breastfeed. And then there's health benefits, there are medical benefits. And then there is financial benefits, you know, huge amount of money saving. And just recently, there was an article that got posted based on the research study that environmentally, we're going to save so much more when the babies breastfeed. So future generations, they can have better atmosphere if they were breastfeed.
What are you sharing as a peer counselor? What are you sharing with other women? You know, what is, you know, the experience that you're bringing out? What are the questions you're kind of hearing that you smile at? Like, oh, yeah, I went through that kind of stuff. And what's your day like?
My day is, I love it because it's all I wanted to do was teach women that they can do what I thought I couldn't do. And right. then I ended up doing it. I have 3 children now and I breastfed them all for a year or longer. And the kind of questions I hear are, does it hurt?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Sometimes.
About sleeping at yep. night, about judgment. How do I breastfeed in public? And I show moms. I was allowed to bring my son to work for 6 months. And there was times where I would bring him in a room and I would be talking to a mother. And then she would ask, how do I breastfeed in public? And I was like, I would say, I'm breastfeeding right now. And you didn't even know. Right. So those kind of things were really cool for them to see so that they know that they can do it.
Yeah, you're giving them a different normal that what we were brought up to believe and see and hear and the messages that they've gotten might not be exactly what is right for them. And mm-hmm. that sounds great. I mean, I see a smile on your face, so it sounds like this is really fulfilling for you.
Yes.
What did you with your own children? I mean, I know it's anecdotal, but did you see a benefit? I mean, do you feel like there's an attachment that wouldn't have existed if you didn't have that you know, the year or longer with each one of them like that?
100%. I see it. I have other friends who haven't breastfed, and I see their children get sick a lot more than mine. All my kids go to public schools, and they're sick kids. There's right. flus that go around, different things, and my kids are never homesick. I barely call off of work for my kids being sick. So I see that. I see our connection. My kids always check in with me. They look and make sure I'm there.
Right.
Not as much as I thought it was going to be, because people are like, they're going to cling on to you. They're not going to let go. My son, give him a room in 2 minutes and he's away, but he's checking in.
I want to hear your thoughts on this too, Sarah. You know, fill us in on what you experienced this last week.
Yeah. So I just wanted to emphasize, and it's really important for WIC to emphasize, that they are equal opportunity provider. They have lots of programs for breastfeeding moms of all racial and ethnic backgrounds. So this is not the only program they offer. And in fact, they offer one to women who might be breastfeeding or pregnant during Ramadan when they have to fast. And so they have some special challenges. So they have a lot of wonderful programs. One of the reasons they picked out, however, African-American moms was that in Washtenaw County, a black baby is 4 times more likely to die before its first birthday than a counterpart of another racial or ethnic background. And breastfeeding is an inexpensive intervention, and so that's one of the reasons that they decided to start up this group. The other thing I thought was really neat was how Dara started out as somebody who was coming to WIC seeking help and then turned around and was employed by WIC on purpose. They purposely seek out people who are from their demographic and, if possible, hire somebody who has used WIC services right. to come back and then educate other moms. So I thought that was really inspiring.
And Guthrie, what is this program like? I mean, if I'm a pregnant woman, I'm about to have a child, it'll never happen. But, you know, if there is a woman that is, you know, about, you know, within a month or so of giving birth, and is really worried about this, you know, do you have somebody that can come to the hospital while that process is going on? Do you have counselors they can meet with? I mean, how does a woman get involved in this?
So currently we don't have like off-site okay. peer counselor support, but it's all within the office. But they are available after hours. Washington sure. County Breastfeeding peer counselors are available after hours.
Do you
hours.
Work with the hospitals at all to make sure yep. that women have this information?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we partner with the local birthing hospitals, as well as we partner with other community agencies and prenatal clinics, you know, that see moms. So definitely, so far what we have discussed about is empowering mom, and that's what we're at, you know, because we're not medical facility, but we're there to just empower mom that this is the best, help her choose, make good, great decisions for her baby and her future.
So. And out of curiosity, and we've spoken before with women that were starting a doula group that worked with Huron Valley Correctional, the only women's prison in the state of Michigan, to help women through the birthing process and the aftercare and whatnot. Has that been on the minds of anyone there that, you know, there's this other population of women too that might need a different kind of help?
Yeah, we've talked to mothers who were on probation or going to jail. We've helped moms who've needed breast pumps or talked about ways where you can breastfeed, and the jails are really helpful with that too. We've Great. Had moms who...
In Washtenaw County especially.
Yeah, and you know, that's a it's already a stressful time, but having to face that as well, you know, it sounds like you're just trying to help these women through this process.
Absolutely. And one other example is we work with a lot of women who may have to, you know, go through like custody battles and stuff like that. And, you know, they need letter of support that, yes, you know, my baby is 7 months old, but still exclusively breastfeeding for separation overnight. So we've been supportive. We have actually we receive support from the state coalition, and they actually have letter templates that we could use for many of these example situations.
Well, Gayathri and Dara, thank you so much for sharing your stories today. I'm really inspired too that, you know, yet another person that comes in here that went through a program and saw a benefit from it and saw so much of a benefit that she wanted to go back and be a big part of it and do this for a job. So that's awesome. We love hearing these stories in Ypsilanti. I mean, how many times, sir, have we heard the same thing? I saw so much benefit from this program, I turned around and started working for them.
Yeah.
What do you got going for us for next week?
So there's a cool new program in Ypsilanti, a spoken word program with youth, and it also involves some people who are coming back from incarceration who are teaching the spoken word and poetry workshops with youth, and I think that's going to be really cool. We'll hear more about it next week.
We look forward to talking to you again next Wednesday morning on 89.1 WEMU FM and HD1 Ypsilanti. And as we've always said, you can find all this information, including the great pictures that always go along with these stories, at WEMU.org.